Welcome to Artrageous, a podcast about the truly outrageous stories of the art and design world. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Artrageous. It has been a quick minute since I last posted an episode, now that we are on a monthly release schedule, like so much so that I accidentally opened up After Effects rather than Audition, if that tells you anything about what I have been busy with lately. My mind has just been all over the place. It has been so busy, and I have zero clue where the last month went, but here we are, and I am back with another fun episode for you. I'm sure you probably guessed that I can see the download numbers of each of my episodes, so it might not be a huge surprise when I tell you that I can see which episodes people really like and which ones keep bringing in views. But would it surprise you if I told you that one of the top episodes is actually about sports on an art podcast? Yeah, I was surprised too. The number one episode right now is the story of the kleptomaniac collector, Stefan Breitweiser. You guys really do love art crime as much as I do. But also near the top of that list is the episode where I talked about NFL and sports graphics. So since you guys really like that one, and especially since there have been some recent events in NFL broadcasting, I figured it would be the perfect time to take a look at this weird new Toy Story broadcast from last Sunday. Sorry, last Funday, apparently. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that is totally okay, because I was really confused and skeptical of this whole thing when I first heard about it too. But basically, the NFL teamed up with Disney to air an alternative broadcast of the Atlanta Falcons versus the Jacksonville Jaguars game in London on Sunday, October 1st. This quote-unquote sports broadcast took all of the live action from the game, and then it turned players into these tiny animated characters playing on a toy-sized football field alongside the infamous characters from Pixar's Toy Story. Personally, at first, I thought this idea was really cheesy and weird, but really, I was more so wondering how they were going to make this thing work. If you're at all familiar with how traditional 3D animation works, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort to get characters to move the way they need to. So how was Disney going to do all of that in real time? And how are they going to do it successfully without having a broadcasting meltdown like Netflix did during their live reunion show for Love is Blind Season 4? Truth is, I think Disney and ESPN have their ducks in a slightly better row than Netflix did, since live entertainment is literally what ESPN does every day. But anytime something new comes out, there is always a slight chance for disaster. Anyway, the plan was to have these little animated football players run around a field in Andy's room, and it would be great fun for the whole family. At this point, you might be thinking, why would Disney want to air an NFL game? Well, money is always a good guess, and in a roundabout way, that is absolutely correct, and we will get there in a little bit. But actually, if you didn't already know, Disney owns a surprising number of companies that you might not know that it owned. Aside from National Geographic and FX and the majority of Hulu, Disney also owns ABC, which in turn means that Disney owns ESPN. So when Disney bought ABC in 1996 for $19 billion, ABC's 80% ownership of ESPN then became Disney's 80% ownership of ESPN. So Disney has the platform, and now they just need the tech component. And that is where Artrageous comes in to kind of talk about this tech component and see how they pulled this off. If you've been with me for an episode or two in the past, you probably know that I get really curious about how some of this stuff is made and what goes into getting something from an idea to, in this case, primetime TV. I'm also maybe a little bit decent at researching and putting facts together in a somewhat comprehensible explanation in podcast format, so let's take a look at what I found. If you were with me for the original sports graphics episode, you know that a lot goes into getting that very simple yellow line on the field. That simple line is not so simple. I thought it was really weird that the yellow line was notably absent in the normal live ESPN broadcast, even though an ESPN broadcast was where the line first appeared in 1998, but whatever, that's not the point. What is the point is that to get that line on the field, an entire 3D mathematical model has to be made of the field using things like laser surveying tools. They also capture data from camera sensors that record things like location, pan, tilt, zoom, all of that good stuff. All of that data is then transmitted to the network's graphics studio, and the computers combine the camera data with their 3D model of the field to draw the yellow line. It is a lot quicker and easier nowadays, and the tech has developed a lot since 1998, but the basics are all still there. All of that data from the field for the whole yellow line thing serves as a wonderful starting point for what was needed to make this Toy Story football game happen. ESPN already had all of that data for the field, and they also had all of the data from what's called Next Gen Stats. The third component to this is motion capture. But unlike for movies like Tangled and Frozen 2, where Disney had to literally invent technology to make these movies happen, the tech for motion capture is already in existence. If you've ever seen a video of Benedict Cumberbatch voicing Smaug from The Hobbit, you might have seen him crawling around on a floor in a weird black bodysuit with white dots all over it. That is basically motion capture. A little less ridiculous example would be that the same motion capture tech is used to animate video game characters for games like Call of Duty. Actors will go into a studio, they put on the bodysuit with all the little white dots all over them, and then they do their thing, it gets recorded, they go home. Although those little white dots look really funny, and the recordings that make their way to the internet are very entertaining to watch, those silly little white dots do serve a very important purpose. They are actually tracking markers. As the actor is acting and moving, those dots are also moving through space as the actor moves. The entire time that those dots are moving and the actor is acting, a computer is tracking that movement and assigning data points like XYZ coordinates to each and every single dot. Those data points can then be applied to corresponding points on a digital character to assist in creating believable animation. But that is in a controlled studio setting, and we definitely didn't see any football players looking like they had a bad case of white chicken pox on Sunday. Well, thanks to some really smart people at a company called Beyond Sports, these little tracking chips were able to be embedded into player gear and even into the football themselves. So all of these little tracking chips were hidden in like player shoulder pads, in gloves, in shoes. They were there, it's just that they were so well hidden that no one would notice them as players were running around on the field. And as they were running around, all of that motion capture data from each player was being transmitted to the studio, where the motion points from each player were then applied to their corresponding animated characters. And then that meant that what happened in real life would be shown to the world in this animated version only about 30 seconds later once all of that data and animation wizardry was complete. Wizardry is maybe a pretty decent way to describe it, but like I said earlier, it's not like they invented all of this stuff last month and this is the first time we are seeing it. They also definitely did not just go full send and do trial by fire on game day and just hoped and prayed that all of this would work. You might be surprised to find out that all of the groundwork for this was laid on a much smaller scale with an NHL game back in March of 2023. During this Washington Capitals New York Rangers hockey game, the hockey players were animated and modeled after Disney's show Big City Greens. The biggest differences between the hockey game and the football game mostly came down to scale. A hockey rink is a lot smaller than a football stadium, so there is a lot less area for that motion tracking technology to have to monitor and track. I did some really crappy math, and it looks like a football field is 3.38 times larger than a hockey rink. Not to mention that hockey players and football players move very differently. On the bright side, at least ESPN didn't have to deal with intersecting hockey sticks this time around. Okay, I think here may be a good place to take a quick break while I organize the rest of my bullet points, so we will get right back into this when we come back. Alrighty, everyone. We are back and ready to just get right back into this kind of crazy and kind of fun way to watch football on a really early Sunday morning. Actually, it kind of reminded me of waking up really early to watch Saturday morning cartoons as a kid, except this time it was a lot more high tech. What I find so interesting is that even as amazing as all of the technology behind the scenes really is, what really caught my attention was just the staggering amount of creativity that went into the theming and presentation of the game. I could forgive the slightly glitchy weirdness of some of the player character movements because the claw coming down from the sky and moving the ball and placing it on the line of scrimmage was just so clever. My absolute favorite thing had to be when they used Slinky Dog as the downs marker. Absolutely loved it. It was absolute genius. And even though the balloons in the end zone after a touchdown were a bit much, in my opinion, I think that was balanced out by the crane and the alien operating the camera because it was just so adorable. But when it comes to creativity and production scale, could we really expect anything less from the mouse? They are the epitome of creativity, and they put so much thought into every single thing that they do. For a company that's been around so long, they did not get to be the age that they are just by putting content out there and hoping that the public likes it. To survive as long as they have, a lot of consideration has to go into the strategy of everything they do. And this whole Toy Story NFL broadcast thing is a perfect example of that. On the surface, it might seem ridiculous that Disney would want to turn an NFL game into an animated thing. A very, very stereotypical view of football is that it's a sport that has men huddling around TV and screaming at each other each week, drinking beer and eating nachos. Like I said, very stereotyped on that description, but it's just an extreme example to illustrate a point where even if one person in the group was the biggest Disney fan ever, the group probably still would not want to watch the game as an animated cartoon, right? So why would Disney even bother with this weird Toy Story version of the game? Well, that's because a beer-drinking 40-year-old man is not their target audience. Disney and ESPN know that they have a pretty steady captive audience in the grown-up men demographic who are already watching that live broadcast on ESPN. But what about the kids? What about future generations? How can Disney reach that target audience? I know as a kid, I was not a huge fan of football, mostly because the Bengals were the Bungles, and then the whole thing was just so boring to me with all that downtime between plays. Add in the fact that 1990s live camera work wasn't even the best by any means. But what if that football game was animated using some of my favorite Disney characters? As a kid, I would have said, heck yeah, I want to watch that version. And that's what Disney is counting on. Alternative broadcasts are great for audience expansion because it reframes a subject matter in a way that is more easily accessible to a chosen market. In this case, they're taking something very complicated like football and reframing it into a context that children would understand and are more likely to connect with. To stay relevant and continue to expand an audience, Disney has to find that new way in, and a combo of sports and kids is a great way to do that for them. Even picking Toy Story out of the entire Disney vault was not random. ESPN and Disney deliberately picked that classic 1995 film because it is that sweet spot for a large range of viewers. A lot of the kids who grew up watching Toy Story are now parents themselves, so that franchise in particular was a perfect vehicle for Disney to introduce the NFL action to kids. An interesting data point I found, if I want to risk sounding a bit like an AWS football commercial and stat that, there are data points showing that 82% of the NFL's audience becomes fans before the age of 18. So that's why it is super important to the NFL to reach kids as young as possible. Even though the NFL has a ton of outreach programs to bring in younger audiences, like their flag football thing and the Madden video games, all of that kind of stuff, there is, of course, always room for more if it means raking in more income down the line. And I do not mean that as a dig at the NFL or even indirectly at a dig at Disney because of what they're doing with the Toy Story broadcast. That's just the world we live in. And honestly, I think it's great that designers and animators and creatives get to work on cool new projects like this one. I think that what we are seeing now is all of the stars aligning for it to be the perfect time for Disney to get into sports. We're currently at a point in time where there's such a clamor for attention and viewership that trying to reach new target audiences and being successful is of the absolute utmost importance for any and all media companies. There's the streaming revolution that's completely upended the old ways of media. We're seeing writers and actors going on strike and new deals are having to be made. And then there's the technology piece of the puzzle. All eyes have been on AI for the past year, but what about all the other great stuff that's becoming more and more viable and accessible for media companies? If there was any time for Disney to do something like this, I would say that now is the time. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and act like Disney did it first. Disney is really just the most recent media giant to try their hand at snagging child viewership. Even the tech itself isn't all that new. I already talked a bit about how video games and movies already use that motion capture stuff. So that is not new, but what I'm really thinking of here is the Nickelodeon Slime Time games. Aside from the name being a fun play off of Primetime and going so perfectly with their existing branding, I think that the Nickelodeon broadcasts are fantastic. They started back in September 2021, which I can't believe it was that recent because it feels like it was years ago. But Nickelodeon had several very successful slime casts of NFL games. In these games, it was the normal football game broadcast, but instead of being boring football, they had slime cannons and SpongeBob SquarePants. Looking at the numbers, the first NFL game on Nickelodeon drew an audience of 2.1 million people. It is crazy to think that that many kids tuned into a game when maybe they originally wouldn't have. With numbers like that, there really is something to this idea of using fun, relatable media to make sports more accessible to younger target audiences. One thing that also got my attention about last week's Toy Story broadcast was the commercial breaks. I think we all get a little tired of seeing the same commercials over and over and over again. And I swear to Bob, if I ever have to hear Whopper, Whopper, Cheesecake, Whopper ever again on a Sunday morning, I might have to order a new TV come Monday. But really, at the end of the day, to me, it is just totally disruptive to the flow of anything on TV. How many times have you watched something on cable television and then got to this really good part, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's an insurance commercial followed by 20 others? Then when the show comes back, it takes a few seconds to remember where the show even left off. Now, put my heated complaining aside, if we as adults are struggling with intrusive commercials, how does that translate to a younger audience with a shorter attention span? Isn't the entire goal of the broadcast to suck kids in and hold their attention? Well, luckily, the brains at ESPN and Disney are very smart and they know this, or at least they have a line of sight on that issue. Since ESPN and Disney have control of the entire streaming experience on their streaming platform, they decided that rather than spam kids with commercials about the newest eczema cream or whatever weird commercials are on nowadays, they replaced commercials with football trivia questions. It was so fun and entertaining, and really, I think it is a fantastic way to teach kids about this complicated sport of football that even as an adult, I still have trouble remembering all of the rules and technicalities. But they did it in such a way that these breaks that would normally be commercial breaks are now not disrupting the cadence and the creativity of the broadcast itself. I thought it was so clever, and really, as an adult, I would love to see that in normal programming. Overall, I would say to Disney and ESPN that you've got a fan in me when it comes to these broadcasts. I really hope they're still around when I have little ones of my own, and it really gets me thinking about what other broadcasts we could potentially see in the future. There are so many different family-friendly franchises. Oh my goodness, say that three times fast. But there are so many different family-friendly franchises that Disney could go with. Maybe one day we might watch Elsa visit the frozen tundra of the Green Bay Packers Lambeau Field. Or even outside of Disney, if NFL were to pair with other major media moguls, I think the Super Mario Brothers franchise would be a fantastic choice, considering that the movie generated over $1.4 billion at the box office this year.
I'm just throwing it out there. I would love to see Lakitu float down on his little cloud and place the ball on the line of scrimmage. Or even better, I would absolutely love to see a cute little Luma line dance celebrating a touchdown. But NFL people, if you're listening, you heard the idea here first, and I am claiming royalty payments if it happens. I'm just saying. But all jokes aside, the Toy Story Fun Day football broadcast was a lot of fun, and I am so glad that we got to talk about it this week on Artrageous. Speaking of all things Disney, at the risk of turning this into a Disney podcast rather than an art and design podcast, I think our next episode is also going to continue on the Disney train, because guess who has a 100th birthday this month? Yep, you guessed it. To be completely honest, I kind of wanted to have that episode done and released by last Thursday, but clearly that did not go as planned. Luckily, that just means that we have something to talk about next time. But in true Artrageous fashion, I'm not going to be looking at all of the normal stuff like, oh, who is the coolest Disney princess? Or what movie had the best plot or graphics? Instead, we're going to look at some of the weirder things in Disney's history that you might not be familiar with. All of that and more is coming your way on the next episode. Really quickly, I do want to say thank you to each and every one of you for sticking with me as I modify the episode release schedule to allow me to work on some new Artrageous spinoff projects. I'll be working on my super secret project, and of course, I will be back again very soon with another episode. But until then, thank you everyone, and remember, stay Artrageous.
Series music created by Arenson. Music and transition sounds licensed from Motion Array. Artrageous is a proud partner of Stoveleg Media.
Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.